Welcome back, everybody, to Fabiano's Masterclass, episode 2. In this episode, we'll be once again staying with the Grand Swiss and another big one, I would say probably the most important game of the tournament, the game that decided the winner of the tournament, that is Anish Giri defeating Hans Niemann in the final round of the event. And I might go as far as saying that the approach to this game, as well as the execution, was close to perfection from Anish. But of course, Fabi, it's your masterclass. Tell me what you think about this game.
Yeah, it was definitely a good game. Very good game. So the situation was that Anish had to win, and Hans also kind of had to win, which is obviously more unpleasant for Hans. With that in mind, I think that the opening choice made a lot more sense from Anish than from Hans. But anyway, let's go through the moves. So C4, first move, Anish went for the English, which makes sense. I mean, we don't know his thought process, but the opening did make sense from his point of view. Knight f6, knight c3, e5, reverse Sicilian, knight f3, knight c6, e3. Bishop b4, queen c2, it's a very topical line. And here, the common way what is supposed to quote-unquote kill the line is because you take on c3, avoiding any knight d5 stone, and queen c3. For example, bc3 was a focus of a lot of games in also in the Ding versus Nepomniachtchi match. Ding won a game with bc3. But now it's kind of neutralized. So queen c3, queen e7. I remember many years ago I was exploring this position. I played b3, which was kind of new at the time. I won a game against Sergei Karjakin. But that's been completely neutralized. These days they all play a3, which prepares b4. So I had a blitz game against Nepomniachtchi in the World Blitz last year, castle b4. d5, we get a typical kind of Sicilian position. Take queen c4. And I played bishop e6, which is surprisingly an inaccuracy. And after queen c2, black can no longer achieve e4, so white has the bishop pair and a good Sicilian. And that's why most people these days after a3, they're not castling. They're playing d5, which is what Hans did.
Now, tell me a little bit about the position, because again, at move 5, just a couple of moves ago, without being attacked, you just decide to exchange the bishop for the knight, not even damaging white's structure. It feels like you basically just gave away your bishop pair for nothing. What's black's compensation? Why is this such a good opening choice for black as well?
Well, I think one thing is that, yeah, generally speaking, the bishop is better than knight. It's not always the case.
Oh, I didn't see you there. You might be wondering, what am I doing here? Well, I'm getting my reps in.
You know, one of the most common questions I get is, how do you actually learn a new opening? Honestly, the best way, hands down, is by using chessreps.com. They've got these super fun, interactive opening courses that actually work. This isn't one of those chess courses you watch once and forget. These are fully interactive courses. You're not passively listening. You're actively playing the moves, getting quizzed on variations, and building that crucial muscle memory. It feels more like a game than studying. Hundreds of thousands of players have already used chessreps.com to break through plateaus and hit their highest ever Elo. And here's the cool part. They actually want you to see how powerful this is for yourself. Right now, you can take their entire Vienna Gambit and Staffer Gambit courses completely free. You don't even have to sign up. Just head over to chessreps.com and start learning. Right now, they have 25 courses for you, and they release a new one every single week. Seriously, this is the best way to learn openings. Go try it out at chessreps.com.
Like, in a vacuum, two bishops is an advantage, but the bishop on c1 is still passive. And one of the main problems for white is that black has this option of e4 on every move. Because we got rid of the knight on c3, And we played queen e7. Now e4 is very difficult to stop. And also because there's no knight on c3, black is very often achieving d5. So all these pawn breaks black has in the center. The queen on c3 is just misplaced. It would rather be on c2. White would rather play a3, b4, bishop b2, and so on. But for example, like I remember after queen e7, d4 was at some point topical, but it's always running into knight. I think Duda played this against me in Olympia. It's always running into knight e4 ideas. So besides the fact that black can also achieve like his French structure, e4 and d5, which is the modern way of playing it. So black has some light squares, getting rid of the knight. Black has more lights for control. The bishop on c1 is still passive. There's a lot of factors that make this viable for black. But also, the long-term advantage of the bishop pair, it does make it also interesting for white to play this, because you have something to play for. It's not a sterile position. The issue is that there's so much theory here that it very often turns sterile. Yes. So after a3, Hans played d5, which the point is that if white now takes on d5, knight d5, black is very often going to castle long. For example, compared to like my game against Jan, after queen c4, now black can play either knight b6, then move the bishop castle long, or immediately bishop b6 and then castle long. And it's just a better version. So that's why black played d5 immediately. And that's why Anish played d4, which is the main move of theory. They traded everything in the center. On the surface, trading all, you know, opening the position, trading central pawns, good for the bishop pair. On the other hand, white is down development. The queen is on d4, liable to get attacked, as we see by the next move. Although I think the next move is maybe a sign. I don't know that he didn't. Everyone plays c5, but I don't find the move like the best one. I don't understand in general why people don't castle first. It's just a probably better move if you actually look at the position. But anyway, not getting too much into the deep theory of the line, he played c5. Anish moved his queen to h4. And here I remember seeing a Title Tuesday game between Gustafsson and Ray Robson. Ray played g5, and then they played like a series of first-line engine moves, so they were both prepared. Take, rook g8, queen f4, rook g4, queen f3, dc, h3, rook e4, bishop d2, bishop d7, and there's some theory here as well, which ends usually with white sacking the queen on f3. But, okay, that's...
Which probably is triple zeros at the end.
Well, if you leave an engine running, everything becomes zeros. With almost, but it's a very double-edged position. I mean, this one, you know, black has no kingside anymore. There's a rook on e4, could get attacked. Knight on f6 is loose, all sorts of things. I think Hans was not familiar with the position because he played bishop e6, which has been played by many good players, but the computer just doesn't approve it too much, so I don't think he knew the line very well. Took on d5.
It also feels like he's not very happy with his position and with the outcome of the opening at this point, given that, as you said at the beginning, he was sort of in a must-win situation as well. Obviously, with the black piece, it's very tough to do that. But look at the time discrepancy. 1 hour and 6 minutes against 1 hour and 42. Coming from a player like Hans, who is known to love his practicality and to play fast, try to have the edge on the clock, this is quite a statement that he doesn't like his position.
I mean, I think that Hans did suffer from having a rather predictable repertoire. Like, he's been playing the reverse Sicilian with black often. And if you need to win the game, and he kind of did, just, you know, play the King's Indian. Like, really, he should have done this. You're going to, yeah, you might lose, but you're going to get a fight. I mean, it's basically like, when you play the King's Indian against someone who needs to win, you're basically saying, I'm giving you exactly what you want. It's very brave, but it's also something where white, like, you're also provoking your opponent to overpress because they're going to be very ambitious. They're going to go for the win at all costs. You don't give them the possibility to get a safe path to victory. They have to kind of take you head on. It's different than Alireza doing it against Bluebomb, because in that case, Blue Bomb needs a draw, so then he might try to draw the game out. In this case, Anish will just play like one of the most critical lines, and you get a really big fight. If you do this kind of thing, like the reverse Sicilian is very, very theoretical. It limits White's options enormously. You're kind of forcing your opponent, in this case Anish, to play a line where like everything's kind of safe. I mean, what's, you know, White could, maybe he was hoping that he, I also don't understand why he plays c4, knight f6. Well, like, play c4, e5. Then you allow at least d3 or something random. d3 or g3, you know, one of those, like, okay, now we're getting a bit
combative.
A bit too theoretical. But the way he played it, it's actually, like, trying to kill the game, sort of, which it's a very good repertoire. But it's not good for these circumstances.
When you need to win. Yeah, it's somewhat of a strange decision, and it does seem like he was conflicted by his options, given that he was spending so much time. Bishop e6, why is this not such a great move?
It's just, okay, it's going to sound a bit of a combo, but it's because the computer says it's not a very good move. I mean, like, okay, the reason why I think c5 was not great was because if we had castled first, then cd5, then we play rook d8 on move 8, on move 10. And then the queen on d4 just gets a bit, like, attacks a bit more. It gives black more time. After we played c5, queen h4, now if we castle, white plays cd5. And then in many cases, or in all, like, for example, rook d8, bishop c4, or knight d5 immediately, we're going to trade queens on e7. And the end game, maybe it's not a huge amount, but the bishop pair, like, there's no longer the issue of the queen getting attacked a lot. There's no longer the issue of development. It's just an endgame where white has a bishop pair and a bit of a tiny pull. So, and that's the same issue with bishop b6 that we're going to take on d5. That's why maybe g5 is actually the best move, like after queen h4, you know, but you have to be prepared for this. You can't play g5 without knowing it. But the way he played, took on d5, bishop b5 check, bishop d7, traded queens, and then bishop b2. And we got an endgame. This is exactly what White wants from the line. It's the only goal is to get this endgame where you have the kingside majority versus the queenside majority. You want to play f3, e4, or e4, f3, whatever order. And you want to take advantage of your unopposed dark squared bishop. Eventually, like, you can imagine White plays f3, king f2, e4, bishop e3, eventually tries to play b4 and exploit the fact that Black's queenside can be targeted by the dark squared bishop. That's basically the idea of the line. The other point is that imagine you're in a situation where you know you need to win, and then you have this against Anish, who you know is going to just torture you, and maybe you'll make a draw, but you're certainly never winning this game. It's not the most, you know, pleasant psychological situation.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, now...
Yeah, no. I would say total domination out of the opening for Anish. Like, psychological domination as well at this point.
Yeah. The thing is, if you play this line with Black, you should probably know it better. Like, maybe you play g5 on move 11 and turn it into a huge fight, and you know it very, very deeply with Black. Then I would say not a bad opening choice, but the way it turned out, Hans was not... He's usually well-prepared, but this wasn't an example of great preparation, and I think Anish got what he wanted.
Yes.
So rook c8.
Rook c8.
Now, all those here are kind of equalish looking. I mean, like, you could play rook c8, you could play f6, you could play f3 with white, you could play the engine shows h4, bishop d2, like, any move is about the same, basically. So f3 looks the most logical to me. F6, king f2, king is perfect there. King f7, Black's king is also pretty perfect there, although the engine is kind of a bit critical of it, but it's hard to say exactly why. Rook d1, bishop e6, h4. He could have also played e4 first, which is what the computer prefers. The reason why the engine doesn't like h4 so much is because now after knight c6, if e4, there's knight d4, so we didn't get bishop b3 in time. But Hans plays b6, which is a little bit inaccurate, and we get e4 now. So it could have happened either way, but
we get the setup.
Anish gave him a little bit of a chance to equalize more easily by not playing e4 in a timely manner.
Why can't he just get his rook on d8 and then go knight d4?
Well, let's say on move 19 we play e4, knight c6, bishop b3. Then we played b6 with Black, and now b4 comes. So it's the idea I mentioned.
You mean if you go e4, right?
e4, move 19, knight c6, bishop b3, b6, and now b4 comes. So to protect the c5 pawn, we have to play b6 if we want to keep the knight d4 idea alive. And then b4.
Got it.
And now we have to take or move the pawn in some way. But after takes, Now, b5 is threatened, or even maybe not directly threatened, but it's going to be on the cards. a7 is weak. This is why, why e4 is more accurate.
Yeah.
So instead, h4 makes knight sense. b6, inaccurate. Black could have probably equalized with knight c6. But now e4, knight c6, bishop b3. And now your question was, why not rook hd8, right?
Or rook cd8, just because I don't want to give you bishop a6 with a tempo force.
Ironically, probably rook hd8 is better because rook cd8 and b4 is very strong.
Uh-huh.
And rook.
Uh-huh. So it's all about this
b4. Yeah, rook hd8, now b4, we can trade on d1, bishop d1, and now knight e5. It's just like the rook's better on c8.
Because it defends the c5.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So after rook hd8, maybe he would play bishop a6, as you mentioned. Trade on d1. Play rook d8, trade all the rooks.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe he would think about b4. I'm not sure. Or maybe not. The engine doesn't want to play b4.
Press this position.
Yeah, press it a bit. It's probably a draw. It's probably how he should have played.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe he actually had a feeling like, I'll keep the rooks on the board and maybe someday I'll get some chances with black. I don't know if that was his thought process, but maybe.
Probably.
So he played knight a5.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
Which is a mistake. And the reason it's a mistake is not so obvious. One like kind of conceptual reason is that the knight actually had to eventually aim for d4. And now if we play rook ac1, which was the best move, now knight b3, obviously that's what you do if you play knight a5, rook c3. Now white quickly threatens f4, f5. Rook hg8, f4. And white has just gained a lot of time here. Black can't even play knight d4 because f5 comes and things fall apart very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So he should have played rook ac1, but I understand it wasn't easy to realize the strength of the move because you provoke knight b3. It's not super obvious. Instead, he played rook d6, which is logical, but it is inaccuracy because black could, again, trade, play rook hd8, rook ad1, play take king e7, and then start trading rooks at some point. Or start playing like bishop c4 at some point, just basically liquidating the pieces off the board.
Yeah.
But Hobbs played rook.
I think your explanation right now makes so much more sense. I mean, it does seem like Hans was just hoping that he will get chances.
Yeah, because like logically, you should trade rooks, right? He was afraid rook.
It's the first thing you're thinking about.
Yeah. Like I was going to say, maybe he was afraid of rook d8, take b4. But to be honest, knight b3 there, it doesn't look very scary. So I don't think you're afraid of that. So his next move after rook d6 is odd to me. I mean, like the rooks on the d-file are powerful. You have to get rid of them. So to play rook hde8, it's just giving up a tempo. I mean, you should just be trading off the rooks as soon as you... Like, what are you doing on the e-file? It's not the rook... Like, I assume that maybe he was planning to play bishop c4 and then to allow, like, rook d7, rook e7 now he has. But after Anish played g4, maybe he realized that... first, one thing is you can't play knight c4 because rook takes e6. First things first. Mm-hmm. And then maybe he realized that bishop c4, b4 is actually very powerful. Bishop takes e2, ba5, and b6 is falling. Not maybe super obvious, but this b4 move is pretty strong.
Yeah.
So after g4, he played knight b7, rook d2, knight a5.
Now you're starting to become passive again.
Yeah.
As
knight
black,
b7
which is not a good combination.
Maybe a sign. Things are not. It's not the best sign of your position that your knight went from c6 to b7. They
did repeat once.
Yeah. Which, again, he shouldn't have played knight b7 again, but he did, and then Anish improved with rook d1. And now I think Anish had fully grasped the position because after knight a5, he played rook a to c1, which is a great move. It's what we said he had to do before. He did it now, but better late than never. This is where things, they were already getting very unpleasant, but this is where things started to go completely off the handle for Hans. He had to play after rook c1, knight b3, rook c3, c4. And then the point is f4 looks very dangerous, but because black now has this rook e8 move compared to the other line we saw where white had played f4 before black played rook e8. Here, king f8. Mm-hmm. Actually, your rooks are connected, and you can play king f8.
And the rook is not on h8.
Yeah,
that
your rooks
sense.
Are now connected, c8 and e8. And so now f5, bishop f7. Totally fine. So you could play king f8, and although it's a dangerous position for black, it's not bad. Instead of f4, the engine shows some other moves as being very promising, but to be honest, they're not very obvious moves, and I think f4 is the more obvious one. I mean, you could play other moves, you could play g5, you could also make some random rook move, but
yeah.
probably g5 is the best move. And then black plays knight c5.
You're still in pole position to have the advantage, but nothing decisive.
It's an objectively drawn position, we assume, but it's practically unpleasant. While after Hans's move, it turns into probably objectively lost, and that's a pretty big difference. So Hans played king to e7, which, again, he probably calculated some things and came up with this move. I don't know what the calculations were. It's sometimes, you know, in our heads, we go along a path, which at some point the thought process breaks down. That's what I often say, which is one of those cases. Like, logically, king e7 is a kind of nonsensical move because the king is on dark squares. That's where white starts, where bishop is. You don't want the king there. But, you know, sometimes our thought process breaks down and he probably had some justification for this move, which maybe was based around if white plays f4 and maybe immediately or in some variation, although f4 is still a good move here, but maybe he had seen something there where king e7 makes sense. Anish's move is better than f4, although the best move is g5, but Anish's move is really good too. Actually, I wouldn't even say
bishop a6.
I wouldn't criticize it at all. Bishop to a6. So basically the rook now has to go off the c file, because if rook c7 b4, now you can't take on b4, it's just crushing. The rook on c7 is very misplaced. So he played rook d8, and now take on d8, take and b4. This was the point. If you take, then ab, and then we're gonna have the c file. Knight b3, we don't have to immediately play rook c7, we can play rook c3, but we have the b file. So we're basically just trying to...
The
c file. We're just trying to undermine the c5 pawn, open up lines, the dark square bishop. It's kind of the full strategic plan, if you want to call it like a long-term plan, or like concept is dark square bishop, open up the position. It's coming into effect.
Yeah.
So after b4, he played knight...
You got everything you wanted at the beginning of the sentence.
Yeah, exactly. After b4, he played knight b3, rook c3 now. He doesn't want to take on b4, which is actually just lost, because you can't even get your knight out of b3. If you play knight d4, rook c7 happens, and you can't block with rook d7.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So after cb is just hopeless. That's why he played rook to d6, with the point that if bc, now I take back and bishop a6 is hanging. After rook d6, the engine shows a tremendous advantage after g5, like +3. Which, it's just because you can't move with black. You can't play knight d4, because if you play knight d4, actually there's many reasons, but I can, for example, bishop to f4, rook c6,
bishop b7,
and bishop b7. Yeah, and if the rook had not gone to...
Bishop b7, maybe you take.
No, I don't think that works. Rook c6, bishop b7, cb, take. It just doesn't work, because we stopped the a pawn and it's over. Bishop c1. Or something like that.
Yeah.
But okay, g5. I mean, the point is you can move, so you're just going to play g5, h5, h6. That's it.
Yeah.
But anyway, Anish played bc, which is also a good move. You know, it's also very, very strong. I think basically if knight takes c5, he wanted to play rook c5, bc, bishop c5, and then... It's kind of similar to the game, but it's like a very subtle difference. In the game, the bishop's on b3, we'll see that in a bit. Here, the bishop's on e6. So black absolutely has to play h6, which is not obvious. You have to stop g5. Like, if you play king d7, we basically transpose to the game, take g5, mm-hmm. and this is winning for white, as we'll see later. But if you play h6 first, now, surprisingly, the position, if white doesn't achieve g5, is a draw. For example, king to e3, king to d7, take, and then black plays g5, and it's just a draw. But after...
You don't have f4, g5, because you're losing the pawn on g4.
Yeah.
What if you try to go king g3 in this position? and then king d7, you take, and now I go f4 instead of king e3.
This is also a draw? Because of
there's king c5, there's g5,
yeah, there's many reasons. Your king is also misplaced. But the question is, after h6, why not bishop b5? That's scary looking. But here we play bishop to c8. And then we're going to break the pin with king e6. And this is also a draw.
Mm-hmm.
It's not obvious at all. It's actually very unobvious. But this position is a draw, which means that
this is extremely difficult to understand in the heat of the battle.
Yeah. Which means that if he has to play knight takes c5, Anish would have to realize that rook c5 is not the move and play bishop to b5, which still keeps most likely a winning advantage. Not as winning as if he had not taken on c5, but still most likely a winning advantage. But he would have to make this realization. It's not an obvious one. It's a very, very difficult one. And say he played bc5, which is also bad if you play, for example, bishop b5 here, because then you just take on c5 next move. But now rook takes b3 is winning. Bishop b3, bishop c5.
I still don't understand why. Why can't I play?
Why can't you play h6?
H6 right now.
Because now, bishop c8.
Oh, your king is not going out.
You can no longer. It's an eternal pin. If you play king d6, bishop d6, king c8, bishop f8, we pick up all the pawns on the king side. Just one, but it's enough.
Sorry. Yes.
Or even instead of bishop f8, I think h5 is even more sad, but bishop f8 also wins. Whatever.
This is so sad.
Whatever you prefer. Yeah. So bishop c8, and then, let's say you play g5, for example. I'll just take hg. I'll put my bishop on f5. Let's say you wait, bishop f7, whatever. I'll play king e3. I'll play f4, and eventually I'll play e5.
Yeah. This is so sad.
Or maybe e5, maybe f4. Yeah, whatever you want. You're in an eternal pin.
Yeah.
That's the difference. The bishop was on e6. It was a draw, but the bishop on b3 is losing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And that means that he doesn't have time to play h6, which he realized, and he played king d7, breaking the pin, forcing bishop d6. But now king d6, g5, and Anish had to find him the g5 move. It's the only winning move. King e3, h6, draw, just like we saw. I mean, it's not like it's a draw. You still have to work for it, but black is objectively drawing the position.
Mm-hmm.
But Anish finds g5, and now black can never achieve what he wants, which is to play h6, g5. He has to at some point play h6 himself. For example, he plays it now. Take. But these positions are all losing. White plays king to e3, white plays f4, white plays king d4, and slowly achieves e5 and wins the game. So Hans instead played bishop to e6, king to e3, and king c5. He's trying to stop the plan of putting the king on d4. If the white king gets d4, just winning, he tries to stop that plan, but it doesn't really matter too much. For example, you could also play f4 here. And let's say, what can black...
h6.
Yeah, let's say you play h6. I take, and I play e5. Take, and then the king goes to f4, and bishop eventually dislodges black's bishop on e6. It's a slow process, but white wins his position. What Anish did is also good.
And you can never approach my a3 pawn, it seems like.
Yeah.
Or at least it's going to take forever if you try.
Yeah, I think it takes too long, or it might even be impossible, because I don't even see a path to get there.
Yeah.
But Anish did something else. He played king to f4. Don't think it's very logical to play king f4, but it also works. I mean, he's trying to get e5 again.
Yes.
If he had played king d6, I guess he would have gone back at some point. So I don't know. I mean, like at some point, you probably have to play f4. But he played king to d4.
Yeah.
Now he traded, which at some point you probably do trade. He played a4, which is fine. You put the pawn a5, it doesn't change very much. h6, a5, black is passive. If he moves the king... For example, king c3 is just e5, and then you just win. Take, mm-hmm. and then the f pawn rushes forward.
Yeah.
So Hans waited, bishop d7, bishop to e2. Now, I think he should have continued waiting, most likely, because what he did was just immediate resignation. But slowly white wins his position. For example, bishop to e6, if he had waited, we can play... What's the easiest way here? I think bishop d1.
Bishop d1, maybe get the bishop towards f5? Is that it?
Yeah, I think we're slowly getting the bishop around. So let's say bishop to d7, because you can't ever play king c5, yes. e5 wins, and you can't play bishop f7, yes. king f5 wins. So bishop d7, bishop to b3, let's say
bishop c8,
bishop to f7, I guess, or g8, whatever.
Yes. Yes.
Bishop d7. Waiting, and then bishop h5, put it on g4, and win.
And then king f5 invades.
Yeah, which is a slow plan of winning. But
very effective. And there's nothing you can do against it.
I don't know. Maybe Han just realized this, played king c5, but then e5 comes. And if you take and king b4, we can just play a6. I mean, we don't have to. We could also sack the pawn, but why not keep it and just play f4, f5, f6 and win the bishop like that?
Yeah.
So he played king d5, took king e6, f7. Nice. Not necessary, but nice. We say clinical move. King f7, king e5.
Gaining access to the e5 square.
And Han's resigned because the plan is to play f4, f5, bishop c4, check, f6. Then the king will be passive on f8. Then we play king d6, king c7, and we rush towards the a7 pawn. And we win that pawn, and then we have two passed pawns to win the game. And it's a pretty simple final task. And that's why Han's resigned. And Anish qualified to the candidates with this victory.
Beautiful game. Beautiful game. Clinical. I think that's the perfect word that you just used. Clinical performance by Anish, giving him that desired victory and the tickets to the candidates. So congratulations to Anish. Difficult game for Hans, but it was the perfect execution. It was the perfect choice of opening as well. Everything just felt like it fell into place for Anish in this one. So quite an impressive victory. And Fabi, as usual, thank you for your explanation. It was great. And I think I understood a lot of things that I did not know before listening to you. This h6, this idea of knight takes c5 being the only move because the bishop has to be on e6 and not on b3 because of the bishop c8. It's all so convoluted. But once you see it, it becomes much more clear. So I appreciate that. Thank you once again. You're in Brazil. And hopefully by the time this video is out, hopefully you have at least, getting closer to winning the event. So hopefully that will be the case. Good luck in that pursuit. And I will see you in the next Fabiano's Masterclass. Cheers. Hope you guys enjoyed
it. See you guys next time.